Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTeglia, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Saints Coaches Show with head coach Sean Payton. His guest tonight will be senior defensive assistant Peter Genta. And then at 7:30 tonight, right here on the home of the Saints, LSU, WWL Radio, be Monday Night Football as the Seattle Seahawks play the Minnesota Vikings. Each and every Monday night, other than next week, because it'll be Tuesday night, we got him from the Silver Slip himself, Mr. Dave Hilbert.
All right, man.
Dave,
great to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Good.
Man, Dave.
Who that?
Man, the more the Saints win, the bigger
the crowd.
Cheering,
I know.
No, the bigger cheering section you got. Man, come on. Listen, if the Saints win a playoff game, Dave, we'd have to sell extra tickets.
Oh, I'm as popular as Tyson Hill, man.
Taysom. Come on, Dave. You
got
to get it right.
I got it right.
Yeah. We're going to have a parade for you, Dave. So.
You'll be the grand marshal, Dave. We'll make sure that's set up. Dave, tell everybody what's happening here at the Slipper. You got entertainment. Also, too, Bobby and I will be here Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve.
Exactly right. And that Christmas Eve is the last Monday Night Football game. Of course, we have the football squares for all Monday Night Football games, and we have the radio show all the way through the Monday after the Saints win the Super Bowl.
Tell everybody a little bit what you got going on here. I know New Year's Eve is a big thing for you guys.
Year's Eve is always going to be great. We got the Dominoes from Hammond playing. We have free hats and horns and champagne at midnight. It's always a great time here. Band starts at 9 p.m. on New Year's Eve, and of course have number one buffet on the Gulf Coast. Great entertainment always this weekend on the stage. We have Dwayne Dupsy and Zydeco Hellraisers. Always a great
act. You come early before all that live music, you hear Mike and I talking about playoffs.
There you go.
Going forward, so that'll be good.
Give everybody a little time to calm down until the dominoes get on here, right?
That's exactly right. Well, I'll tell you, this with that Saints game yesterday, it's like the curse was lifted the minute Hill blocked that punt.
It's how you handle adversity. Dave, you can't be a hater out there. All these trolls and all that, and you hating all. We're doom, gloom. I mean, God, I'm like thinking if they're married, male or female, their partner must feel miserable to live with that kind of individual because they never look at the glass half full. It's always half empty.
And they got a lot of miserable people then. That's all I'm telling you.
No, because all of a sudden they go like, oh, we need to put Teddy Bridgewater in there. Drew Brees is washed up. I want to say I'm like pulling my hair out. I'm like, who is this individual? I like to see him face to face, and I would say, that they have no clue. I mean, because they think the Saints aren't going to do anything. It doesn't matter what they did at the beginning of the season. No, they kind of living in the moment, and it's going to be up and down. But, yeah, that's why they play four quarters, Dave. It's not over till it's over.
Dave, I remember a few years back you were somewhere else, but Hank Stram did a show. And Hank told me one day, he said, you know what? I'd like to go to somebody's workplace and critique them over a period of time. And then Jerry Seinfeld did it on one of the Seinfeld episodes where he went heckle somebody who had heckled him in the crowd, and she got a pinky toe cut off. That was the episode. But, you think a lot of coaches and players, they wouldn't say it, but, Hank was out of the business for a while, so his deal was, what the hell, it don't make any difference. But that's what you get sometimes. That's what happens. You get a lot of criticism of what's going on.
Well, the thing is, what have you done for me lately? And the Saints fans that we all expect, look, you're in the driver's seat. You're the number one seed. You got to take care of business on the road, a hostile environment. Carolina, the organization, they would love to spall out parade, so to speak. Look at
and
Carolina.
They got two opportunities to do it.
And then when you think of Carolina, boy, it just shows you from the penthouse to the outhouse. At one time, they were 6-2. And they lost five in a row. Mm. Then we play the Steelers. The Steelers, I'm telling you.
That's the most mercurial team in the NFL.
The Steelers lost three in a row. But the Steelers are still that kind of team that can come in here.
And put 45 points on
the
board.
Yes, yes. So, listen, we still have a tough schedule to end the season, but no excuses. Take advantage of being the number one seed.
And we saw yesterday, too, man, Patrick Mahomes. Man, you know, he was back. He's going up against one of the best defenses in pro football in the Ravens.
On that fourth down throw, what he made, Mike.
And he threw one of them like almost like a basketball pass like Pete Maravich would do. Man, across, you didn't even see it go. Man, he is something special in this league.
The coaches love that kind of player because he'll make Andy Reid look good. I mean, it's like all of a sudden, you know, if Andy Reid wants to finally get over that hump and maybe get to the Super Bowl or something. But, boy, Dave, I don't know if you watch all the highlights because you can look at the Red Zone channel and all the highlights, all the different games. But I thought yesterday, as an NFL pro football fan, they had unbelievable games as far as the outcome. Look at the Patriots. The Patriots, for some reason, even all the success they've had over two decades, the Dolphins beat them. You know, and they always have an upset, no matter what. Then you bring up the Chiefs and the Ravens. And then you look at the Steelers lose to the Raiders. It just shows you the NFL. You could go on and on, but I thought it was very entertaining, and that's why the product. That's why I think the nation, the public.
Even Cowboys. Well,
in that game-winning
Cowboys-Eagles.
Yeah, game-winning pass. It did overtime.
That's why I think they love the NFL, and it's must-see TV.
Dave, got a lot of things going here at the Slipper. And giveaways?
Giving away a Mustang the last Saturday in December. So at 9 p.m.
And so y'all going to crank that up again in January?
And crank it back up in January. We have a secret promotion coming up.
A secret? Well, what that mean? You can tell us, Dave. We won't tell
I'll
nobody.
Tell
you can tell us on the radio.
I'll tell you on the break.
I'm going to guess that Dave probably got Super Bowl tickets in his back pocket.
He let the cat out the bag.
I was just guessing.
Dave, thanks so much
for joining us.
Come on down to the Silver Slipper. Mr. Dave Hilbert, thanks so much. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellia, Bobby Abraham, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. They have the board up for the Monday night contest, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 between the Seattle Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to go to Tony in Australia. Tony, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Bobby and Mike, how are you, boys?
All right, Tony, what's happening, brother?
Hey, mate, what you got, Tony?
Well, I got a couple of things. Firstly, you were talking about the Cowboys, the Green Bay Packers, and the Patriots, right? The Cowboys, the so-called America's team, the New Orleans Saints are the worldwide team. We've got who that's scattered all over the world, and they're the number one team in my eyes. Secondly, so long as we play Fair Dinkum Saints football like we did in the second half yesterday, there ain't no one going to beat us.
Yeah, I tell you what, that is something you want to bottle up as a coach, and you have the momentum.
And save it for another day sometimes, too.
Because when you look at the productivity, it kind of speaks for itself. The final five possessions, you get a touchdown. Sean Payton says, I like our two-point play. We'll go for it. You convert, so you go touchdown, two-point play, conversion, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, then all of a sudden victory formation, 25 unanswered points, and I tell you what, division opponent and all that, Tony, you know that was a significant win. Now, if you casually just watch the NFL or pro football, you might not know the details, but it ends up looking like a very convincing win when you consider the point spread and you win 28-14. I don't know, did anyone mention Gerald McCoy's name, Mike? We mentioned Sheldon Rankins. You know, you talk about dominant defensive players or players who are involved in the game. And, Tony, how about this? I mean, and Deuce even acknowledged this, Mark Ingram. Look at Mark Ingram. Did y'all see how pumped up Sean Payton was when Mark Ingram had that run? Man, he was so – he couldn't get more excited if that was in the Super Bowl. He knows how significant that was and the passion with Mark Ingram – getting that touchdown, and you look, Mark Ingram and Deuce McAllister, they each have now 49 touchdowns for the most rushing touchdowns in Saints history. And you look at Mark Ingram. He's nipping on the heels of the great Deuce McAllister. He's now just 216 yards shy or surpassing Deuce as the Saints' all-time leading rusher. So, Mike, we witnessed in a lot of history. You know what else, you know, that we witnessed? Mike, when you think about this, and Tony, how about Michael Thomas? You might say, okay, what about Michael Thomas? Michael Thomas, when he caught that 20-yarder from Drew, that was his 289th catch. No player in NFL history has ever caught that many passes in the first three seasons of his career. Michael Thomas surpassed the old mark of 288 by a couple of LSU players.
Yep.
Odell Beckham with the Giants and Jarvis Landry that set the record when he was with the Dolphins. But now Michael Thomas, when you think about this, no receiver in NFL history has had a better start of his career than he now for three seasons. So we witnessed a lot of history as a Who Dat Nation. We just got to embrace it.
Tony, just think of this. In the two games he's played against the Buccaneers this year, Michael Thomas has caught 27 passes.
Oh, yeah.
27 passes against the Bucs.
No, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer against them.
Yeah, I mean, so he has put up some huge, huge numbers. Again, I also thought that Sheldon Rankins, he's the one guy, man, you can see how much he has stepped up his play in the middle and how much teams respect that. When you get eight sacks from the interior, there ain't a lot of guys in this league that's changing up those type numbers.
Well, yeah, and he looks like a legit now. And I got to give Mickey Loomis a lot of credit on that. You know, because we want a flash in a pan. We want Davenport to produce like what Sheldon Rankins is now. But it's a 3 or 4 year process. You know, Mike, you might say, oh, he's a first rounder. But so what is he doing? No, you have to be patient. You have to be intelligent enough to realize where Sheldon Rankins is at. And then all of a sudden, the fruit is ripening. You know, all of a sudden, you pick something. Boy, this fruit looks good. But it's not ripe yet. Sheldon Rankins is ripening. That's what's going to happen with Davenport. I'm just telling you. Now,
and you can see in flashes, he's got it.
Now, when I look at Lattimore, he was ripe from the get-go. He kind of fell off the tree. So you got to eat it right away. So, you know, you don't know how a player is going to develop. And, you know, it might be that first year, might be that second or third or fourth year. Look at Robert Meacham. I mean, it was a late first-round pick. Okay, well, how he's going to contribute? He end up contributing. But you got to be patient. Now, to me, if it's past, like, that after 4 years, come on. Yeah. You got to, you know what, to get off the pot. But I'm telling you, I look at Sheldon Rankins. I look at Lattimore and how we've hit. Listen, you know the one we didn't have patience with? Is Malcolm Jenkins. Look at Malcolm Jenkins. In hindsight,
that game against San Francisco signed it off.
But Mike, in hindsight, they never would have got rid of Malcolm Jenkins, considering how he's produced now for the Eagles.
You
got to be patient. Sometimes the fans aren't patient because if you draft someone in the first round, they go, oh, that guy's not any good. No, you got to realize it's the NFL. It's the best going against the best. So you have to see that light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm telling you, I look at the passion. Look at a few snaps with Davenport. Davenport sees that light, and he has the right mentor in Cam Jordan.
Thank you, Tony. We appreciate the
and
call.
And Okafor.
There you go. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this CBS News update. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellia, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. On the line with us now, WWL TV's own Andrew Doak. Andrew covered the game, Saints Buccaneers. Andrew just back in town. Doak, glad to have you on with us, brother.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I just got off the plane about like 10 minutes ago. I think I need one of those big bowls of gumbo down at the Silver Slipper that you say that Zach Strief and some of those guys
man,
can't finish,
man, listen.
Huh?
Hey, Andrew, I told you about that already. You come down here, man, we take care of you on that. It's awesome.
Now,
absolutely awesome.
No, it is like a bowl of gumbo that you're not going to say, where's the meat? I mean, it's like it is chock full.
And if Abear can't eat it all, you know, Andrew, there ain't no way you doing it.
Well, and the thing is.
I'm not backing down from a challenge. No way.
No, that's a challenge.
They have so much substance There's no room for the rice. It's like, okay, I've got to have put the rice somewhere. I mean, it's unbelievable. No, I've never seen chock full, that term chock full. Well, that gumbo right there at the oyster bar, the Silver Slipper, is chock full.
Andrew, being there in Tampa to see what happened, you know, this Saints offense was flatlined. And then Taysom Hill makes the play that basically he jump-started the engine on that offense. But, man, listen, you got to give the defense a lot of credit. They hung in there. Special teams played big. You know, Will Lutz hit his field goals. Cairo Santos, he kept you in the game by missing two of them.
Yeah.
And covering that to see how the momentum dramatically changed after Hill's block put.
Well, you know, the first thing I was kind of saying to people when we were watching the game, even when we got into the third quarter and Breeze has that fumble to – start the first drive of the second half with them, I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, look, I thought that after that Dallas loss that these guys were going to come in pissed off, like ready to play and ready to put some points on the board. And I kind of was sitting there scratching my head because I didn't feel like I knew the team that was playing on either side of the ball just based on the mentality that I felt like they started that game with. And I think sports are just weird sometimes. Every once in a while you need that galvanizing type play that energizes your sideline, and for whatever reason, it just gives you juice where all of a sudden you wake up from whatever hangover that you were in, and now it's time to play some football. But it almost reminded me a little bit of last year's game in Tampa Bay when you had another chance to win the division. And last year you backed into it, and you didn't play your best football, and you knew it was on the line going into that game. There was obviously a division title still on the line this year, but, you know, you could still clinch that in the weeks remaining. So, I mean, it was a little bit different situation, but I wanted to see a little bit more urgency. But certainly the unsung hero in that game was the defense. The defense, yep, really over the last several weeks has been unbelievable. And the second half, three out of the last four games the Saints have played, the defense has pitched second half shutouts. Now, some of those have led to, you know, blowouts in games, and others, like yesterday, it keeps you in the game so that once the offense woke up, you're able to take control of that game and win a division championship. And this defense has gone from what used to be an anchor to one that looks like they're the wind that's pushing the sail on your ship forward. And it looks like a strength, one of the top flight units in the league at this point in time, just based on how they're playing.
You know, when I look at also, because it's a pass-happy league, and Michael Evans, okay, who's going to win? Michael Evans, Marshawn Lattimore, what's going to occur there? You know what I think that was different compared to week one? That the Bucs not having DeSean Jackson. Because DeSean Jackson, no one has been better at him as far as average per reception. I mean, I'm going on basically like at least a half a dozen years, if not more. But you look at Michael Evans, and he has four catches, 86 yards. But I look at Humphreys, you might have seen him now and then. And both Humphreys and Godwin, they were targeted, for instance. They had 18 targets, but only five receptions. Humphreys had four receptions, 42 yards on eight targets. I'm looking at Godwin, who they count on game in and game out. 10 targets, one reception for 13 yards. So, boy, I talk about like a bounce-back game. You look at all the cornerbacks, whether it's P.J. Williams or whether Eli Apple. Because we're going to focus on Lattimore and what he's doing against Michael Evans. And because you look at Michael Evans came into the game, what, 66 catches, over 1,100 yards, five touchdowns. His yardage total was third in the NFL. But you look at Lattimore and what he was able to do, I think is significant considering how you handle adversity. And look, he got burnt, to say the least, that first game against Michael Evans. But he limited him to four catches, 86 yards, zero touchdowns. And when you break it down, credited with two passes defended, had an interception at the end. And you look as of late, it's kind of not necessarily rookie of the year numbers, but Marshawn Lattimore right now, and I think they kind of drafted him, and I would say definitely not a sophomore slump, but at least he's trending in the right direction. He has 11 takeaways since making his NFL debut back in 2017, and he's tied, I thought this was interesting, tied for the league lead with three defensive forced fumbles. Recoveries. I mean, three defensive recoveries, I should say. He's had four first fumbles, so he has a nose for the football. One thing about Lattimore, Mike, and when you think about this, is that he has a nose for the football, whether he's forcing fumbles or he's recovering or even getting interceptions. Even when the game's over, he's still competing and playing, and he's getting that big interception at the end.
Andrew, you can also answer this. I think the big thing with him, he's healthy. At Ohio State, hamstring issues. Now, he missed a little time a year ago, but we got the healthy Lattimore. That's the big difference here. You're getting a guy who has a nose for the football. He always had that, but now he's healthy.
Yeah, I think the only downside of the fumble recoveries that he had is that he got chased down by Eli Manning and wasn't able to return it for a touchdown. But I know he probably got some crud from some guys in the locker room for that. But yeah, look, I think yesterday what you saw, Mike Evans have that 36-yard reception on the first drive.
Right.
And after that, he only had three more receptions, and I think he was like around mid-80s as far as his receiving yards. So, I mean,
yeah,
really,
totally.
He only gave up 50 yards, and it was just kind of nickel and diamond down the field after that. And look, that was the NFL's number one offense as far as yards are concerned and number one passing offense. So, like, these last few weeks for the Saints defense, it's not like they're playing scrub offenses. Like, they've been playing good offenses, making adjustments and being able to dictate how the game plays out. And even though they didn't win that Dallas game, if you would have come back and won, and if Drew Brees were to put together a drive to engineer a score there and win you the game late, the defense would have been the main talking point, in my opinion, because they're a group that is really, really playing well right now. And, you know, look, when you get into December football, even if you're going to be playing in a dome, which hopefully is the case now that the Saints now have control of the number one seed, that still pays dividends throughout the playoffs and towards the Super Bowl, and that you're trending in the right direction if you're the Saints right now.
Well, you know, some fans, they think, like, oh, the Saints are amongst the best, and you get kind of spoiled, like when we wax the Philadelphia Eagles, or you look at a number of blowouts, and when that occurs, then you think, like, well, that's how the Saints should play, but it is the NFL, and I know Sean Payton acknowledges this, that if you just look at the NFC South, and the division top to bottom, when you're looking at quarterback play, whether it's Matt Ryan, we're getting ready to face Cam Newton, and then look at Jameis Winston, that you know what I thought was interesting? That you look Sean Payton against Tampa Bay, Mike, in Tampa, we were 7-5. So now we're 8-5, and we had lost two in a row. So people think like, oh, why are we not crushing Tampa Bay? They're not playing for anything. It just goes to show you the parity in the NFL. So when you look at point spreads and all that, anytime you have a double-digit victory in the NFL, that is huge. That is very significant.
The other thing, too, Andrew, is running the football matters. And I do think as we get, you know, we saw it into November and December. I know you covered a lot of Texas Tech football, so you wouldn't know a lot about that running part. But I do think it matters late in the year. You can't be one-dimensional.
You do, and I think before that Taysom Hill punt, the concerning thing was that you didn't really have much balance on offense.
Nope.
And I think it was 9 carries between Kamara and Ingram for only 2 yards.
Right.
Then they exploded after that. But the question that I kind of had was, and I'm interested that y'all's thoughts on this, but I thought that in the first half, particularly because you only have Michael Thomas as a wide receiver, that's really your only legitimate threat right now on a play-by-play basis, or every play basis, I should say. I feel like they should get Kamara more involved as a receiver at times, because honestly, like, I think as great of a running back as he is, if you just get the ball in his hands in space, that guy's able to do amazing things that not many other people in the NFL could do. Maybe him and Tyreek Hill, and that's probably it.
Well, when you look at it, though, when all said and done, he was targeted the second most behind Michael Thomas. Now, only 6, Michael Thomas.
And more
got
the first half.
Yeah,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, but it's amazing. To me, watching what Drew Brees and Sean Payton has done, I would say it's not by committee right now. It's kind of Michael Thomas, because I can tell you even the past.
And Kamara.
Yeah.
It's 1A, 1B.
But we had Reggie Bush and we had Sproles, so that's the same kind of guy like Kamara. But then you look at the production of Lance Moore, and then you look at Willie Steen.
Devery.
And then Devery. Jimmy Graham. What? No, we just don't have that now. I mean, You structured a different way, and Ben Watson will contribute. Look at Ben Watson. Look, three targets, three catches, 24 yards. I don't. That seems about right.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to expect more? No. I'd be interested to see if Brandon Marshall could step up and be that legit receiver that he was in the past. I don't know. Right now.
We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Because
we'll
you know, I was disappointed in Tre'Quan Smith.
Come on, you got to catch that.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Come on, be strong with your hands. You got to catch it.
Andrew, thanks so much for joining us tonight, bud. We appreciate it. We know we got you all on the schedule, but appreciate it so much, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right. Andrew Doak from WWL TV Channel 4 in New Orleans. We'll be back with more Second Guess. We're finishing it up here on hour number two of the Second Guess Show. We're going to go to Philip in Mississippi. Philip, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Mike, Bobby, who that?
Who that, brother?
Hey, Philip, what you got?
Bobby and Mike, want your opinion on P-Rob. First off, what's his status? Can he come back from his injury this year?
He could come back, but I think the injury is going to be beyond him playing this year.
Right. Okay. If the Super Bowl would be at the end of February or beginning of March, maybe.
Maybe, but listen. Okay. That broken bone in the ankle, that's going to take a little while to heal.
Okay, because I mean, if he was, I would have rather him come back than Ginn, because, you know, we need all the insurance in the secondary we can get. You know?
Well, there was
There
was a reason why they brought P-Rob from the Eagles when they were the world champs. P-Rob was for sure, Mike, in the top three, maybe if not one or two as far as the top nickel corners, as far as his productivity when you look at snap after snap with Pro Football Focus. And they were counting on P-Rob. But I tell you what, overall, I got to give P.J. Williams a lot of credit.
P.J.'s played pretty well.
I got to give him a lot of credit considering that they didn't necessarily think that, you know, next man up. Well, P.J. Williams has stepped up considering – the circumstance that they were counting on Patrick Robinson to be that guy.
Philip, I'll say this. I think you can make a pretty good argument from the start of the season till today. P.J. Williams is the most improved player on this football team.
Yep.
Think about it, from start till now.
Now, Mike, what was the game? Kind of help me recollect. Was it the Vikings game he was getting torched? What was that?
Early on.
Early on, it was like. Oh, no, it was the Falcons
game.
It might have been the first Falcons game. It was like, God, it was like, I feel so bad for him. I mean, I know he's going to keep competing.
Ridley had those huge numbers.
The first half, when he had about 170 yards, whatever.
But you know what? He showed, man, he got titanium in the backbone.
He was able to
come back at that position.
He bounced back from that first game against Atlanta, without a doubt.
Thanks so much, Philip. We appreciate the call, bud. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870.